Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. Side question today in honor of the, I think Fisher Pine tells me Richard Nixon would be 112 if he were alive today. Nixon's vocal pattern, voice, the combination of it. That's what we're looking for. Your all-time favorite. One you think is really distinctive. Now, we had this story of a woman named, they made international news. It was graduation season 2023. Lisa, Principal Lisa Messi, was not only the principal of Girls High, which used to be in the Philadelphia Public Schools, the girls' version of Central, and has fallen by the wayside based upon any number of metrics. And there, she was trying to have decorum at the graduation. It is Girls High, after all. And she told the student, now, this person was the person that other principals trained with. She was an icon. She told them that they were just to receive their diploma and warn them if there were outbursts during this, then they wouldn't be given their diplomas at that point. Well, one girl danced across the stage. Another did this kind of pantomime thing. And the other, the parents went way over the top coming toward the stage. And those three, she said, nope, you are not going to get your diploma right now. You'll get it. And I think it was in almost short order that they did get it. Now, she's white. And even though this seems perfectly within reason, she was under fire big time. She's fired back now. She was removed from her job in a form of discipline and given a demeaning special assignment because she is white, in retaliation for exercising her First Amendment right to refuse to appear at a public press conference and issue a public apology from the defendants in this, who are the ones that caused this. Girls High opened in 1848 as one of the nation's first public high schools for women, had an established rule and tradition of requiring its graduates to proceed formally across the stage without audience applause or shouting, according to the lawsuit. So they dumped her, wanted her to give the apology. The then school board president castigated her, saying it used antiquated norms in and robbed the students of inclusive joy. There's that word again, inclusive, right? The assistant superintendent who supervised her said your actions demonstrated a lack of respect for the students and their families. It's my belief the practice is at best outdated, at worst, a practice that lacks an awareness of culturally responsive norms. Translation, race was involved here. I believe this woman will win. She was told allegedly, this lawsuit says, by district spokesperson Monique Braxton, told the woman in a June 17th conversation, if you were a black woman, this would not be happening. Okay? So on and on it goes. Many of the comments directed at her were vulgar and obscene, even though the Girls High Alumni Association defended her, issued a statement supporting her. So what will happen here, I believe, is she'll win. She'll get a certain dollar amount, and the Philadelphia public schools will just go merrily on their way because ultimately all these lawsuits, all this money they pay out, the taxpayers pay it. They continue these sorts of tactics. So if you remember this, is it starting to come back to you, made international news, and we've all been to graduations. You know, I think I get it, but I've seen stuff. It's either a formal ceremony or it's not. If you just want to make it, hey, do whatever the hell you want. Okay, do that. But Girls High had a tradition of this. And again, how did these students suffer again? They got their diploma. They're the ones that called attention to themselves and aided and abetted this. And she had told them what the rules were. So to be taken out of that position and put into a clerical position. She's now a principal of another high school, less desirable, she says. It's just another example of what goes on here in Philadelphia. And that's why it made international news. People were not attacking her. They didn't say, oh my God, this woman's nuts. They went after the fact that she was under death threats because she held to this line. So then why have a graduation? Why not just say, hey, show up, dress in any way that you want. We'll hand you your diploma. What's the big deal anyhow? Now, can you go too far? But there are too many graduations, first of all. You know, the pre-K graduation, kindergarten graduation, going to middle school or going to junior high, and then that graduation, then high school. Is it something that is a lost thing? Just let them show up and give them their piece of paper saying, well, it's Philadelphia Public Schools, it's fraudulent, but it's a piece of paper that says, yes, you know something, even though if you don't, it doesn't matter. All right, phone lines, 855-839-1210, you get on board. It's going to be really interesting to see if the LA fires have any lasting impact on how people view this. I think some people are thinking it will. Here's just one perfect example, though. This is Cut 16. This is an LA news anchor. Humiliated, you would think, during this segment where he's saying, none of this is true. None of this is true about the firefighters don't have water. It's all made up. Essentially, when I'm watching this guy, he's saying, all you conservative, I can imagine talk radio out there, all that stuff. They're just making it up. This is what they always do. And at the very end of this news report, it's about a minute 26, you'll hear the reporter not once but twice on the scene saying, firefighters are telling me they don't have any water to put out the fires. Here's how it sounded.
Former LA mayoral candidate and real estate developer Rick Caruso criticizing the city's response to the windstorm and fires. He says officials should have been more prepared.
The real issue to me is twofold. We've had decades to go remove the brush in these hills that spread so quickly. And the second is, we got to have water. And my understanding is the reservoir was not refilled in time and in a timely manner to keep the hydrants going. So that's a failure, whether on DWP's part or another city agency. But this is basic stuff. This isn't high science here. And it's all about leadership and management that we're seeing a failure of. And all of these residents are paying the ultimate price for that.
Despite what you have heard from Caruso, no firefighters have told us that they are running out of water.
And let's go out to Gigi Graciette. She is live in Pacific Palisades. I know your signal's not the best, but Gigi, what can you tell us?
Well, firefighters have told me they have no water on this block, and you may be able to make out the ember storm that we're in the middle of right now. This house is going to be a total loss. They have no water to put on this fire. They are standing by because they're trying to stave the home that is next to it.
All right, so no water. Firefighters there, no water a couple times after this guy. It's a rear guard action. They're trying to tell us, A, this is climate, or B, you big mouse, nobody could do anything about this. And look, once this starts, it's difficult. Everybody realizes there's certain difficulties, but this is a failure of proportions. It is the most destructive in their history. It's possibly because they're nowhere near putting this out. That's the problem here. That's the bottom line. Something that Gavin Newsom now has been swept up in, and this is going to hurt him. We'll see tape of this already, and the comparison is apt. Scott Jennings on CNN saying, let's see a split screen of what DeSantis has done in Florida versus what Newsom has done in California. And Newsom used that word when he was on with Anderson Cooper last night about whose problem is this, et cetera, talking about the folks. As soon as you hear folks, here's cut seven. This is Newsom. He's asked by Anderson Cooper on CNN why the fire hydrants have no water.
I do think there's a split screen here, too, with Florida, to be honest. A lot of what we talk about it in terms of emergency management in this country almost always comes from hurricanes and weather. And you know, who is the recognized best emergency manager in the country? Ron DeSantis in Florida. So Newsom is... Also, he's under assault from Trump a little bit, but, you know, he's also dealing with, I think, a comparative here. You know, what do other governors do? Is he as good? So when you talk about the future politics of it, is he as good at this as another governor might be? Could be a real problem for him because, you know, right now I think people have serious questions and there are no answers yet. He'll have a chance to answer them, but it doesn't look great right now.
All right. Here is, Dan, what I wanted. That's what Jennings said. This is Newsom being asked, I believe, by Anderson Cooper about why they don't have any water. Cut seven.
What is the situation with water? Obviously, in Palisades, ran out last night in the hydrants. I was trying the firefighter on this block. Yeah. They left because there was no water in the hydrant here.
The local folks are trying to figure that out. I mean, just when you have a system that's not dissimilar to what we've seen in other extraordinarily large-scale fires, whether it be pipe, electricity, or whether it just be the complete overwhelm of the system. I mean, those hydrants are typical for two or three fires, maybe one fire. You have something at this scale. But again, that's going to be determined by the local.
Are we buying that? I don't think so. When you're here and you know what the number one or the principal problem that you have, fires, wildfires, that's what you have to worry about. They didn't come anywhere near doing it. It's not just that it's overwhelming. It's that they were overwhelmed because they were completely unprepared with all the billions they spent. Because they're disgraceful. Because they're DEI, up and down the line. They're clowns. And they can't handle it. It's not the local folks and what do you expect? This is extraordinary. It's extraordinary because they've allowed it to become this extraordinary. Obviously, they would have some problem with this. They really have to work hard and bring resources in. But the devastation that we're seeing here, that's now they're projecting that it's 40% contained, Fox News is saying now. But this is a living memorial to progressivism, to what they are, to what the National Democrat Party is, and this is what you'll get with them. All right, let's go to Scott in Mount Laurel, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Scott, good afternoon.
Hey, Dom, good afternoon. I tell you, it's just so typical. You know, the left, they're spending so much time on things that aren't important that even if they want to do the right thing, they don't have enough time to do it. They're spending time doing ridiculous stuff nonstop, worrying about all the, you know, the color of everybody and the gender and all that. If they would just spend the time in government doing what they were supposed to do, government would run a lot better.
Yeah, but that's not how you advance in the Democrat Party. You don't advance your merit executive leadership on the basic type of stuff. You advance like this woman did. It's the head of the fire department on DEI of being a lesbian who's out. Those are the things of advancement. So it's
hopefully people will realize.
Yeah, well, Karen Bass was the runner-up to Condoleezza Rice for the DEI to be vice president. She didn't get that, so they elected her against a competent guy, the billionaire, barely, in L.A., and look at the result.
I mean, we've gone through this for years saying, look, you know, we need people to make the connection between the negative things that happen and the people that they're voting for that are doing them. They're starting to make that connection. But like you said, without Trump to highlight it, you know, we'll really have to work hard to try to keep that connection visible.
Yeah. And Scott, I'm being fair. And I'll ask you. We'll start off with you. Let's bring it closer to home here. All right. So first black woman who's mayor in Philadelphia. We have that now. I maintain that Sherelle Parker would not allow her city to be in a situation like this. I don't see evidence of it. I think she's much more competent than that, would sweat the basic kind of stuff. So I'm not saying it's every person in that role, but I'm saying there's enough of them when DEI is the path that this is what you're going to get. Do you think Sherelle Parker would allow something like this?
No, I don't think so. I thought she sounded great in all the interviews she did with you before the election. Certainly sounded like she had a grasp of the issues and was competent. And I think she won because of that. And, you know, how she's going to govern, if it was a ruse or not, I guess we'll find out in time, you know, if the city gets cleaned up. Because we know how to clean up crime. It's a question of whether they have the, you know, the political will to do it.
Yeah, well, if it had been Helen Kim, on the other hand, it would be more devastating than this.
Right, and that's why Sherelle won, because people wanted someone who, you know, would potentially clean things up.
Exactly. Who's your person, Scott?
Well, it's great to be here on the Dom Giorgiano program, and I am here with Phillies manager Charlie Manuel. Ooh. Charlie, how would you sum up baseball? Well, you know, like Harry, you're like, I can sum up baseball, you're like in one word, you know, like, and that one word is, you like, you never know.
I didn't know you had that in you, Scott.
Very good.
Oh, I love doing impressions.
Next time you're in the Phillies booth, you better whip out an HK.
Yeah, you're going to be in the Phillies booth this year. What do you think?
We'll see. We'll see what the price is. That Roger guy put that price through the roof.
Oh, okay.
That progressive. I was like, okay, I got a much better deal. I'm like Trump. I like the good deal.
All right. Thank you, Scott. We hope you're in there. We're working that up already. The secret word to say. All right. 855-839-1210. You would think after something like this, like if the election were held in a couple weeks and it were Caruso against Bass, do I know for certain Caruso would win, the Republican billionaire who came fairly close? No, I don't. Breaking these patterns is not easy, despite the evidence that's in front of us. The media is already saying, have you no shame? You shouldn't be talking about something like this while it's happening. People are dead, destruction all over the place. When are we going to talk about it? When you hope we forget about it? Do I think Sherelle Parker, for example, would run a city like this or is running a city like this? No, I don't think Sherelle Parker is somebody like that. But there are any number. Danielle Outlaw was the face of DEI, the former police commissioner. Karen Bass was the runner-up to Kamala Harris to be vice president. And on it goes. Filling up women's handbags. We're seeing that today with some of the L.A. fire department in order to put out the fire. That's what they're reduced to because of the shortage of water. And do I see the people in charge, Newsom included, desperately trying to move heaven and earth on this? No. I think they're in a bubble that thinks this is not going to ultimately stick. And it may not. I don't know what it takes to break through on this, on just the competency issue. Yes, there are incompetent dopes that are Republicans, no doubt. But it's more the ideology that just drives itself toward the notion of that's the stuff that's secondary. It's a distraction. What we're going to do is we're going to put in DEI and we're going to fixate on that and we don't care about anything else. All right, more of your calls are next. You're with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano Show. This is a question we all wrestle with, I guess, at funerals. But when your former vice president, current president, former this, that, or the other, So today, as I said, the Bidens didn't pay much attention, didn't even look at Kamala Harris. Good indicator there. But several people, and I'm watching the footage as people come in, President Bush does not greet Donald and Melania Trump at all. He walks past that where Obama was sitting and gives him a loving belly tap. They're friendly.
A belly tap.
Belly tap.
Right, like they belly bumped?
Yeah.
Like a
touchdown,
jump in the air?
Yeah, something like that. And Karen Pence totally snubbed Trump and Melania Trump at the funeral, where Mike Pence shook hands with President Trump. Now, we had a situation where invited to the Clinton White House. DJ hated Bill Clinton at that point. I think he was 14. And we knew where there was going to be a handshake thing involved.
I love that a 14-year-old just despise
me. Yeah, yeah. And told him, well, you know, you got to shake a hand here. This is, you're shaking a hand to the office in a situation. Now, in the case of Karen Pence, though, given that Mike Pence was under fire where the Secret Service may have had to open fire on people that were coming after him potentially there, I could understand that. You know, what's the line that you get to, even at a funeral? Now, I'll give you one other. It's just a miserab. I've told this story before. While Bill Guinier's family has me speak at his eulogy, it was such a big deal. I believe it was at the Academy of Music. That's how big of a deal it was. You know, what a hero, Philadelphia, the whole thing. And Kenny's there, and he mustn't observe me. And he sits within a seat or two of me backstage. And I had all kinds of fancy chairs set up for the next in line of the eulogies. And either somebody whispered or it dawned on him. He gets up, looks around the room, makes sure everybody sees, and walks completely like 50, 60 feet to the other side of the room to sit down. You know, you think, I'm not going to, you know, at a funeral, you shouldn't be doing that. And I'm not going to say anything to him there. You can't. It's just ridiculous to engage in that at a ceremony like that. You have to have better manners.
YouTube.com/@12thandwPhD. I just have B-roll footage of Trump entering, shaking hands.
So, Dan, is there anybody you would... There are people out there in the world I could see that I wouldn't, even at a funeral, I wouldn't make a thing of it, but I just wouldn't. I'm not going to go near them. I'm going through a list in my head.
No, there's not really many people. Like, the one that comes to mind is Krasner.
Okay, right.
You know, tough because I feel he is intentionally doing harm to a local community.
Right. Yeah, he's his ideology, and he is beyond arrogant about it. That would be impossible. But with Harris, for example, we differ with her completely ideologically. I don't like how she got to where she did. But, you know, we don't want to be like the other side saying Trump is Hitler, so you can't shake hands with him. Then after the election's over, like I could shake hands with Josh Shapiro. I despise everything about the modus operandi and what he's doing. Yeah, Krasner is one. Henry, how about you? Anybody?
Most politicians, probably.
Okay.
John Calipari.
I don't mind. I don't have a disdain for him as much as Scott in Mount Laurel does or anyone like that.
But you wouldn't just because they're a politician.
Yeah, not my favorite line of work, I should say. And,
but if you're there, isn't it the office you're shaking hands with, if it's a president, for example?
If they disgrace the office badly enough, I don't think
it's all right. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. What's the line here before a year? I mean, the polite thing to do is to try to avoid, the first rule is don't make a spectacle of it. Try to avoid being in that situation. Both people should try to do that, if possible, at a funeral. You got to try to do it.
Now, let me ask you this. On the other side of things, YouTube.com/@12thandWPHD, we're currently showing after Obama sat down, him and Trump very chummy, having a conversation, smiles back and forth. Is that too much?
It was too much. I think they were talking too much at the funeral. Yeah, I do. They were joking, talking and all. I don't like that at a funeral. No, not really. Now, I know there was a lull there before stuff happened. I don't think you ought to be doing that at a funeral. You do that after, you know, the wake or before you sit down. But when you're sitting there in the church around this, probably not.
Yeah, real awkward moment as Bush enters and just walks right past Trump and Melania to give Obama a bump on the chest. And
yeah.
Everyone behind him being vice presidents, Gore, Pence. They all stand up, and he goes right to them to shake hands after giving the belly bump to Obama.
Yeah, what's that? What's the Bush thing with a sitting president, president-elect now, that he can't with Trump? What's so despicable about Trump to Bush? Well, Jeb Bush, is that what it is? That, I mean, he brought it on himself, though.
I think if you ask the never-Trumper style Bushes out there, they'd say that Trump bastardized conservatism.
All right. Is that the sin, though? Is this like a tyrant or something like Krasner, where we're talking life and death here? I would. You know what? Here's what to do, Dan. You shake his hand, but then you're more pleasant with Obama. You know, it's the belly. The two of you sit there and talk for a minute. And with Trump, you just give him a perfunctory handshake and move on. That I could see.
Well, is that not making a scene again? Like, you just give him like a, you know, dead fish handshake, and then it's like, yo, Obama, what's up, dog?
Whoa.
Is that not making a scene? Like, you're clearly playing favorites?
He did give him a chest bump. Yeah, but at least you're shaking Trump's hand. Okay. To walk right past him. And then, Henry, you got the bird and the wife is there. What did Melania do to Bush?
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, don't you have to shake the wife's hand if you want to make a statement there? You can't just bypass the wife.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? It's like having a problem with Dan that week. I don't hug Macy at a thing. Come on. It's like, oh, no, she can't accept that because Dan and
not I. Not allowed to hug Dom when we go to this event, Macy. Yeah,
all right, remember that. No, Roe would. You know that. I couldn't coach her out of doing that.
I would never not hug Roe if we were.
I know.
Such a sweetheart.
You can't get her out of that no matter what. You got to avoid them. But when you're national leaders like that, and then you got Hillary sitting there with all of them, they all hate Hillary. I mean, every level, every one of them.
I don't think any of them shook her hand.
No, I didn't see anything with Hillary.
There was like a weird moment, too, where she sat down next to George. Right. And there's like a, you know, when you usually sit to someone that you have floated in circles in the past, even if you're not friendly with them, you kind of like acknowledge them.
Exactly.
Just completely ignoring one another. And
well, I noticed.
George later like leans over and makes a joke to both Bill and her and lightens things up. But you can tell there's some weight in the air when she sits down.
When they were escorted in, Kamala Harris is the second gentleman. Went in second. She went in first, and then she stopped and made him go to the end. I think they were trying not to have her sit next to Jill Biden, but the protocol was she's got to sit next to her. So those have to be, at that level, the intensity, where you have to be somebody you despise or you really don't like. I mean, I've been in events and situations like that. You just got to suck it up and get through it and not show the public there's anything particularly wrong with it.
During the break, I'm going to also bring up a clip of Kamala Harris when she sits down. She sees Trump and Obama chatting. You can see like her.
Well, yeah, she thinks it was inappropriate. On that, I kind of agree.
What's going on here?
Yeah. All right.
Suze loves Jeffy, though. Just she tweets that it's before the funeral. You should be able to talk. Have your back and forth, no?
There in church, it was a little bit too much laughter and stuff going on, I think. You know what I mean? I think you do that in other places.
YouTube.com/@12NWPHT. Tune in for Dom at Dark with Dom Giordano.
What the hell is going on? Lights are on out there. Yeah. I hope we're not experimenting.
What?
Are we experimenting with something in here again?
No one's doing anything.
The light switch is like dead. It's not even coming back.
At least we're on air.
Somebody's experimenting.
No one's experimenting. Yeah. We're looking around.
All right. So it's
someone forgot to pay the bill.
All right. So it's 8558. They were. I was writing. There you go. That's right. They were experimenting with something. 855-839.
Are there any drones in the air?
That's 855-839-1210. If you have a comment on that. These public things are difficult for everybody involved, but what's the protocol? That and the side question. We have more coming up. Talk Radio 1210. All right. It is Dom time. Welcome in. So the New York Post brings in a professional lip reader, Jeremy Freeman, and he says Trump is saying to Obama, I pulled out of that. It's a conditions. Can you imagine that? And after I will. Call me after this. We need to get a quiet place to talk. Obama, can you just? It should be good. Trump, I can't talk. We have to find a quiet place sometime. This is a matter of importance. We need to do this outside so that we can deal with it, certainly today. Oh, man. Can you imagine? But Obama did look very engaged with him. Meanwhile, a federal appeals court in New York has turned down the Trump appeal to block the New York sentencing tomorrow. Now it goes on to the Supreme Court, where the Trump people are asking them to block it. Hard to know what they may do in this. You know what it's about. It's spite. Just trying to have that felon tag on Trump when he takes the oath of office. All right, big game coming up this weekend with the Eagles and the big year where they can go to the Super Bowl. And we have the, I just saw this, DJ sent it to me, the death of a former, well, Archbishop Brian Great, then University of Maryland. And he was a guy who was pretty unique. I think they called him an H-back at the time. He played for Tennessee mainly, Frank Wycheck. And he died. After he died, they took a look at his brain. And they report today he had stage 3 of the degenerative brain disease, CTE. He had at least 25 concussions, the family said, during his career. He struggled to find stability in his life after he retired, often telling his daughter it felt like his brain had a thick brick wall inside that stopped his will to follow through with anything. Now, again, I mention it all the time. And making peace with it, when you see a guy like this locally who was that known, around this, we know what the players today, he didn't quite know the year he played. I think he was 52. So this was some years back. These guys today certainly have to know about this risk factor. And maybe that's how we're able to, at least for me, I'll speak for me, watch and not think about that much. Henry, do you ever think about that? Or what? How do you get by that?
What, the CTE?
Yeah, yeah.
I just choose not to think about it. I think everyone's brain is right. Going to react differently to getting hit repeatedly over and over again. It's going to be different for everybody. So I don't think you can take too much stock in, you know, just the whole sport as a, you know, in its entirety, because everyone's different.
Well, you encourage your kids to play.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, just one metric that's factual I would put in, and why I come down that side. And Dan asked a great question. That's where I was going to go too. They know it's 33 to 38% are going to end up with CTE of some form or another, probably in their 40s or early 50s. So it's pretty established, mm-hmm. And it is football more than any sport. That,
yeah,
that's
no, I'm not saying it's okay. Not like a thing, but I'm saying right. Like it, you did say like a third of the players will yeah. Probably end up with something,
a little
but
bit
you're just
more,
kind
right.
Of hoping you're that other two thirds.
Yeah, but watching this gives me, because I know what's going to happen.
But you don't. You don't necessarily know.
I know one third of them are, yeah.
Sure.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. I'm not
and
saying
it's not.
And it's
not like, look, if they walk, they can't run when they're done playing or bend over too easily. You got a lot of money. Suck it up.
Yeah,
you have to deal with this. This is a price.
And it's like issues like that where I think players go like, oh, it's the CT. It's my brain, right. You know, not, you know, right. Firing and all cylinder. I think a lot of, I don't want to say CT is like overhyped, but I think a lot of players just, you know, they have debilitating stuff after they retire, you know, down the line, and they want to blame, you know, CTE brain injuries, when I don't think that's necessarily always the case.
They have their brain. They have their brain they're looking
well,
at.
Well, I mean, in Wycheck's case, right. Obviously, it's
yeah.
Cut and dry.
Well, I mean, a lot of them. They have about 1,000 brains now over the course.
So according
sad.
To that JAMA study, it was 99% yeah. Of brains from deceased NFL players and 91% of deceased college football players, there was found CTE.
See, I don't know about the college thing, but
and
hey,
high
that's
school,
what
it was
at
21% right. To Henry's point.
So you would let them play high school football?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dan?
If my child came to me and right. With a desire, then sure, I'd let them do it, but I wouldn't push them towards it.
Okay. Yeah. I would really try to dissuade. DJ and Luke were basketball. I didn't have to deal. We didn't know about it then either, though.
Well, let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
If there's 21% of high school football players get CTE,
right.
What if I told you 17% of the time you drink red wine, you might get cancer.
Yeah. Well, if you could prove that, then I have to look at that. Boy, working that into it won't let it up. You know, it's so bad. I was even thinking of trying white wine this week. And then I thought, what the hell? White wine? Give me a break. I would never be caught.
Call back there.
Dan, you were a white wine drinker.
Oh, I'm a huge
you?
White wine drinker.
Oh, my God.
Last night, I actually had some grapefruit Moscato from a local winery that you and Roe love. It was really good.
Oh, over in Hamilton.
Yeah, it starts with a T.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tomasella. They're great folks.
Know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic,
blueberry Moscato. Where'd you
one
get
night, a grapefruit Moscato was good.
Oh, grapefruit.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Hmm?
By the way, I had your tea last night. It was excellent.
Yeah, you liked it?
Oh, yeah.
Good. I'm happy.
Yeah,
I'm happy you liked
it. Very good. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, Henry, then you stick into your guns here, though. They can play high school football.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's a different – like, if you've ever played against someone who's going to play, you know, Division I football or
right.
like, this guy's the man, you know they're on a – they move faster. They move on a
right.
different plane than everyone else. So, obviously, their hits are going to be a lot worse than you would see on the average football field, high school.
Well, I mean, I contend from what I see, the problem is you're never going to be safe in the NFL.
No.
It's not so much just their size. They move too fast. And colliding at that speed, you're always going to have
everyone's
this.
The best athlete in the country.
Right. And you're going to have CTE in numbers that are appalling.
I agree. It's just, but that's what the risk
is. It's harder and harder for me to watch that, really.
I take issue with something Henry just said.
Yeah.
I don't know if football players are the best athletes in the country.
They're not. Pro basketball players are.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, that's my view.
I disagree with that.
Yeah. Who are?
Football players.
If
pro wrestlers.
we'd be so much better at every other sport if we cut out football. I mean, soccer included. Like that would make soccer relevant in the United States, as if we had these great athletes going to play on the pitch.
Yeah,
Lane
Johnson going to play soccer. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I still think pro basketball players. Just look at them versus football players. It's a big difference, really. All right, you can get in. Does that trouble you? I mean, it's going to be enormous this weekend. The numbers, and particularly with the team. We have a radio station just built on this. It's a sports station. But in Philadelphia, could there be any place where football is more revered? It just fits beautifully. But you see a guy like Wycheck now, you see this constantly, CTE, which it's not so much just at the end of life. It's what happens to them as they degenerate. It could be suicidal. They just can't do anything else, et cetera. What a risk. And if you know that now, well, at least you're informed. 855-839-1210.
And what's the chance someone makes it to the NFL? I mean,
right.
You know, like when you get to the level of making tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, it's hard for me to feel bad for a lot of people, to be quite honest.
Well,
I feel at that rate, you're paying someone to put their bodies on the line.
Yeah, I agree with putting your body on the line.
But when you're talking
college
football. I
don't agree with putting your brain on the line. That I just get really worried about. Yeah. The rest of your body, you're right. That's what you're paid for. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the college level, the stat you had, Dan, that's the thing. I don't know if I buy that number had CTE at the college level.
I can buy that just the amount of good athletes that are coming through with the 5-year player window now. You know, all the JUCO transfers not affecting their eligibility. The talent pool has gotten so much greater in the last, I don't know how many years.
That's a lot.
But they're catching up to the NFL. I don't want to say they're on that level. They're not even close, but they're slowly moving that way in terms of speed, athleticism, all that.
So that was I just want to say that, I'm sorry, the report I was referring to was the JAMA Medical Journal report that came out of University of Boston a couple of years ago.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's the center for this.
Yeah, our Boston University CTE Center. So 91%
I guess
of
because this is such a nasty disease, again, when you see somebody who was a former player, they can't think, they might be suicidal, they're depressed, their movements. It's the worst of dementia, Lou Gehrig's disease, for years, it seems like. All right, 855-839-1210. You get in. We're coming to you next on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano Show, 855-839-1210. Roger Stone coming up at 2 o'clock. Advisor to Nixon. This is Nixon's birthday. Would have been 112. That's the side question today. And we ask him about President Trump and what he sees going forward. Dom's Money Melody, really interesting one today. We'll get to that also. Let's try Joe in Bordentown, though. Hey, Joe, good afternoon. What do you have today?
Good afternoon. My answer to the side question is Norm MacDonald. And one time he was guest hosting for Dennis Mill on the Dennis Miller radio show.
Yep.
And I called in, and he said I sounded like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Definitely. There's a definite accent issue there. I would agree with that. All right. Joe in Columbus, back-to-back Joes. Joe, who do you have?
You got to keep following me up with from Joe from Bordentown. Yeah. That's a hard follow-up, Dom. Can I talk about these Palisades fires?
Sure, go right ahead.
It's nothing short of pure negligence. And outside the obvious warnings Trump gave Newsom and, you know, there's obvious things. I worked in California for 3 months after the 89 earthquake, and it's a fact. Everything from San Jose south, California is a desert, number one. Number two, all they had to do was monitor the reservoir out there in Nevada that feeds Los Angeles and right. Lake Tahoe. I forget, it slips my mind, but they saw that reservoir dropping. It's down 70, 80 feet now.
Well, and they had, Joe, to your point, they had an inordinate amount of rain last year, and they just allowed it to dissipate.
Yeah.
The problem is you don't have any Republican there. Criminal negligence is the way to go here, to charge somebody or a bunch of them with that. That's the only way you can do anything.
And wasn't it Trump that was warning them? They said decades ago, you better do something about this now. In addition to getting rid of all the scrub brush and everything, there's a myriad of proof and evidence here that it was negligence and nothing but negligence.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is. I don't know of anybody in power, though, who would charge them with that, Joe. And the taxpayers will end up paying for the rebuild. And then plus whatever people win in a civil suit, it'll be billions upon billions.
Right. Right. Yeah, we pay for others' mistakes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Who's your person?
My guy, although I can't quite understand his cadence most of the time, is Christopher Walken.
That is a very interesting one when it comes to cadence. Not like Nixon, but a cadence, definitely. So, all right, Joe, thank you for that. Let's take Chris in South Jersey. Chris, who's yours?
Hey, Dom, mine is the incomparable Paul Harvey, with his famous closing line of, and that is the rest of the story.
Absolutely. Harvey's so popular, they used to put him on at noon for the first 15 minutes of talk radio. I was at WWDB when they did it. All right, we'll take more on that. Roger Stone is next. We'll have a couple of other things, too, coming up this hour. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. You get on board. The outcome in L.A., will people actually now think about this the next time they vote? You had a viable Republican there. This guy Caruso, who's a business guy, was successful, is kind of a slightly moderate conservative Republican billionaire. And he did well, but they still put a complete DEI person in there and Karen Bass, who did not get the vice presidential role. So they said, okay, let's put her in to be the mayor of L.A., where she's from. You see what the results are. It's not only her. It's the whole infrastructure there, including Newsom on down, the fire commissioner, just at any level. They're not about protecting you. You couldn't possibly have confidence. So why do people vote for that? Well, they believe it'll never come down to that. They want to vote for somebody who ideologically they agree with. They agree with DEI. They think that's the way to go. You see what the results are. How can anyone deny what the results are? You still want to vote for it, okay. Don't deny the results. Well, it's climate. Really? Climate didn't fill up the reservoirs? 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.